Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
It's all these classic rock guys too. They're always like, "We're retiring," like the Rolling Stones and Elton John. And it says it's been like their third retirement tour or something.
They take 3 years off and they're like, "I miss it."
Yeah, it's part of who they are.
It's a calling. I mean, most artists, anyone that works in this business, it's a calling. I've said that before about doing this. For me, I'm not as talented as the people I work with, but doing this was something I had to do. I get it, but man, the shirt. Can we talk about the shirt?
Not my shirt.
Not your shirt.
But yeah, we can talk about mine. I got a little snazz. My wife be making these, man. So y'all go out on.
She used that shiny stuff this time.
Yeah. Some little celebration, little lettering, I guess. I don't know.
Well, the headliner Thursday.
Tyrone bursted.
Shout out to Tyrone, man. He was hilarious, and boy was he a good sport, because y'all just gave it to him on that shirt. Like, what did his shirt say?
It was a nice shirt.
It was a nice shirt.
Wait a minute, hold on. I got to see the pictures from Thursday. Hold on.
It was a nice shirt.
I figured this out.
Well, this is the thing. As comics, we find something to roast each other about. It really doesn't matter what it is. But if we lock sights on it, it's pretty much the target.
I hate that I wasn't here in the green room for that earlier.
Oh, man.
It's almost like you told him one thing, you told everybody else something different.
No, man. Tyrone's probably been the most outspoken of the group that came. I can't say that. We all have our own.
Now, y'all were giving him hell, man.
Different styles, so. I just saw him when he was in the green room, and I'm like, everybody was dressed kind of down. I was like, wait a minute. He came in.
Is he the one that switched out to the rooster shirt?
Yeah.
Dang, I can't see his shirt.
What was it, like just a fancy loud shirt?
It's white and black, but it had like some, what would you call it?
It had flowers up his sleeve. It was like one of the little Latin shirts that come with the boots.
The pointy toe boots.
Not the boots.
He had on sparkly black just the shoes.
Oh, okay. The sparkly black shoes are fine.
He got dressed to the nines.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was looking good, but he was the only one.
That was the story of my life.
Everybody else was in jeans and t-shirts except for him.
They were giving him all kinds of shit about it on stage and backstage, but then he gets on stage and he just owned it. And he did, 10 minutes? On the shirt.
Oh, wow.
And at one point, I went back to the office and grabbed a rooster shirt, and I started waving it at him.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, look, Michael got a rooster shirt for me. He's like, give me that. He put it on stage.
That's funny.
It was a good time, man. I mean, it didn't feel still. Like, it felt like a fun comedy hang. Like, the thing, this place isn't a comedy club. Like, that's not what we do. But we do this. We try to turn it into one once a month. Which is why Ray Money's here, ladies and gentlemen, comedian Ray Money on the couch. And, every month, somebody always, makes a joke about the venue, because that's what you do. You're a comedian. They're not used to playing rooms like this. And it was like, for the first time since we started this, it actually felt like a comedy club in here. Like, everyone was just, having a good time, laughing, the shirt helped.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. The shirt, it helped. But it was a good hang, and these guys are celebrating 10 years of comedy together. You want to talk for a minute about starting out with Tyrone and Coco and Deacon Dean?
Man.
Like how you guys all met?
Oh, man, a lot of drunken nights, at least for me, they talk. we all started, I guess the main plus was spotting Charlotte Club Vibration. That was probably Coco used to run a Thursday night comedy jam Club Vibrations, and it was off of Sharon Amity Road. I think it's called something. It may be Vibration now or some other name now. It's still
okay, up on Sharon Amity, which, okay, that's kind of off Independence, kind of in the heart of Charlotte.
Yeah, in the heart of Charlotte, yeah. Man. It was, yeah, it was right there. And we had, man, we used to come out, and it was just like any other, like Thursday shows, but we were all new, so we'd kind of, we'd end up meeting over there, and we'd roast and spend hours at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, just talking trash to each other. You know, this
now,
is,
that was on a Thursday night. 10 years ago, it was Thursday night. It's as hard as it is now to get people to come out.
It definitely
was it just the comics just hanging out, right?
Just coming, man. Look, we were all new then, too, so it was more than just that. There was other comics, of course, that had been in a longer or shorter time, but it was just our group that kind of gravitated to each other because we all started on the same time. We were going to the open mics trying to figure it out. And, I mean, that's pretty much what it was. Every open mic, we all grind. Like, we would drive hours and hours and hours and hours to open mics.
So you weren't just staying in Charlotte. You were hitting, like, anywhere you could.
So my first year, and I probably was a lunatic, I did probably, it was close to 300 stages.
Oh, wow.
And it may have been even more than it may have been my fork. I down to the point I camp out in the car. I bought a blow up air mattress so I can sleep in the car so I can get some stage time. Man, it was a.
And yeah. You, none of you were getting paid at the time because open mics, that's not paid gigs.
No, like you get like maybe you know wings and stuff here and there. So it was and you kind of hear about it. You listening? You listen to the podcast? You know, any interviews with other comics that you can, all right, this is what I should expect.
Anything you can do to get in front of people and be funny.
That was the goal because at the time it was like, okay, when you're young in the game, you realize that, when you're younger in the game, you feel like, all right, this is going to be the moment. You really like, you're 30 days in, like, yeah, man. I'm finna get this
well,
thing.
Well, I can imagine, like, you maybe you try it a few weeks, it doesn't go well, then you get up there, and then all of a sudden, one week, it goes really well. And you got a whole room laughing, and it's got to be, like, you know, that endorphin rush, that adrenaline rush, yeah. Like, this is it. I'm gonna be a professional comedian. And then the next night, you go up, and you bomb.
See, I don't even think of myself as that now. I mean, just because I'm around guys that have been in the game much longer than I have, I think that's
that one. That keep you humble?
Yeah, to keep you humble and to keep you inspired, to keep you seeing the different at the level now. I can see the different variations of where comics are in their career, and I've seen how people feel about where they are in their career. I can see the people that like you, Coco, saying she was wanting to retire, but you can see how talented and how great.
So funny.
She was hilarious.
Yeah.
But to see people and their spirits in the game, you know, you take something from some of the guys like D.S. Sanders, been in the game quite a while, just got his first Netflix.
Shout out.
Yeah, man. So he's with some more, has produced it, is on Netflix right now. Fantastic. But he's actually come here.
Yep.
Come here, but see
the. Do you hear that? A Netflix special's out there with a starter comedian that's been on our stage, and you're missing out.
Yeah, man. Look, a lot of these guys that and ladies that will come through, they're going to have a lot of credits because a lot of us have been out here doing a long time. And ultimately, we're all trying to find our audience. That's pretty much what it is. And I think that's for me when I look at other comics and I see how they are in their career. I'm like, look, don't. We kind of get into a point where people get to competing, like, I'm funnier than him here. I'm like, no, it's not like that. It's like music. You know, everybody.
Different genres.
It's different genres. It's different genres. And you see, like, oh, like you see comics that are more standstill and some that jump all over stuff. Like, it's two very different audiences of people.
Yeah. Some dudes are storytellers, don't really tell jokes. And some guys just do one-liners. And there's. Yeah. You know, for someone like me, I love it because I like all different types of comedy. But there are certain people that, like, they only like a certain type of comedy. So, like you said, finding your audience, that can be a grueling process.
Yeah. I mean, it's inspiring because I've seen so many around me that have blown up from Christian Johnson, Ryan Davis, which is actually a part of the established 2013 group at point. He took off, you know, and you see Brandon Rainward, all these guys that have hundreds of thousands of followers and millions of followers of people, and you see their audience inspiring. Like, you can never stop, because you'll see that, you're like, oh, it's possible.
Yeah.
And so you keep driving to that, and you see others go at different times, but you ultimately know the longer you're in it, as you see some of the other guys, like I said, DS and some of the others that are getting further and further in their career. But yeah, I didn't realize I'd be here talking to y'all right now. Like, that's...
Well, that makes me think of two different things. You know, number one is the inspiration side of that. Yeah. Is, you know, I get that same feeling when we have a packed house. Like, you know, I'll get frustrated at times, you know, when we're not getting the crowds I think we should have, and then we'll have that one show where this place is packed, everyone's having a blast, people are grateful, and like, that inspires you. It's like, this is possible. I don't want to replicate that every night. Like, if we can do this every night, we're gonna be great. Yeah, so I understand that completely.
See, like you say, that in itself, so all the rooms as comedians, we do varying types of rooms. All of us do different types of shows, and they're in different spaces, and they're set up differently. If you're blessed enough to do some of the comedy clubs and some of the theaters, you're going to get the nice stuff, but people are having great times in different venues all across the country. I can't tell you the many cities I can't remember the name of. They have, like, most people, they would say Gastonia now. Like, they'll say, when you say Charlotte, if you go out of town, like, oh, you say outside of, but Gastonia will have a name of its own, just like these other cities. And they have people that live in these cities. They want the same experience that of laughter that we go to in the big cities. It's just...
That's a great point to make, you know. This right now in our 2023, the world needs laughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's, we always need it, right? Like, it's not just specific to this time, but, you know, times are tough right now for a lot of people, at least in our community. I see it, you know, in people's faces and their eyes when they speak, and,
yeah,
and the type of things that people are saying. People are desperate for things to get better in their life, and it's like, this is one way to, like, deal with that, or at least, at the very least, you can escape from it.
Yeah.
You know, you can escape from the day-to-day hustle bustle by coming somewhere and just getting in, laughing. Like, I'd imagine, you know, if more people would invest time, you know, into things invest more time in levity, let's just put it that way, and just not take everything so seriously, it does make things a lot easier to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Some stuff you just gotta laugh at. That's just really what it is. You, man,
I think places like the Brewster in general are like, a lot of people will jump to social media to escape, you know, or they'll jump to video games or just whatever to escape. And there's places like the Rooster here where there's comedy and there's music and there's things, you know, like that, like, you can escape with other people.
That's like, exactly right. That experience is much more rich. It's much deeper, and it lasts longer. You know, the endorphin rush you get.
It's a real experience.
Yeah. The endorphin rush you get from a social media interaction pales in comparison to a real visceral, real life experience where you're sharing something with somebody.
Because that's going to create a memory, and scrolling through social media is not.
Talk to me a little bit about how you're using social media to, because, you know, for those who have been following know who you are, and they know that
they don't know me.
Well, people that are following us,
if they did,
maybe some of the newer here. People.
Well, we talked about this before. You dove head in this year. You know, you quit your corporate job and decided to go head in 100% all in with comedy. So now that you're doing this 100% full time, how much are you seeing of a return from social media?
Right now, nothing that I can see. Nothing I can see.
As much as you push stuff out, nothing?
No, I can't say that. I mean, just, I think.
Dang, I've never seen somebody push so much stuff.
The reason I push, there has to be awareness, but people, I think for me, as you can see, my wife and their family, they are generally with me most of the time. And it isn't until people meet us in person, for the most part, that people want, like, just, I'll be at the doctor's office or the YMCA or some of this, and we laughing and just talking, and then people come to shows there, and I haven't really seen the impact of social media has just yet. I think I got my first experience this past weekend. Well, not this past weekend, but the 22nd weekend. There was someone I was performing at the Comedy Zone in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and it was a couple. Actually, it's about four people, older white couple, and I didn't see the other two. She's like my daughter and son-in-law over there. They said they came from Rhode Island to see me.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And I was like, okay. Yeah, that was it shocked me because I'm like, where is that?
North, that's all.
I mean, not like that. North. I mean, like where is it in proximity to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania? I'm like, it's like 3 hours away. I'm like, 3 hours away? I'm like, she's like, y'all came here for me?
Either you're really funny or Rhode Island really fucking sucks.
Hey, man, it was interesting because I'm like, how in relation to where I was, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, I'm like, that's not close. And I'm like, we saw you online. We came.
Okay.
I was like, oh.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
It shocked me more so because I ain't put stuff online and, you may see.
You're right.
You don't see the in person. I mean, people comment and stuff online, but it isn't until you feel it in person or someone like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The things you put on social media have to be has to be an instant grabber, Like long things on social media don't do great. That's why TikTok's a minute long or 3 minutes long, because it's.
Yeah, there's little steps.
If you got to make somebody laugh, you got to make them laugh fast.
You got TikTok, right?
Do I have TikTok?
Yeah.
I do have TikTok. I haven't. I'm just now. I'm getting someone to help me with my social media because I just don't have the time.
I feel that.
So, I mean, it's a. And
because if you dig too far into that, it's taken away from your ability to create.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Even down to. Like, even with the cameras here, I'd be like, wait, am I supposed to be saying it like this? Or lean into the camera? All the times I've been on camera, they ain't been good. And all the experiences haven't been good. State your name.
Jesus.
I definitely. it's been... seeing how impactful it is for my peers is showing how important more of the importance. Because at one point I thought it was just the in person talk to people. Because I don't mind going places, I don't mind going performing in random places, I don't mind.
Well, clearly, I mean, we've been at this for 10 months or 9 months trying to build up the like a comedy scene here in Gastonia, and it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I thought, hey, we're doing stand-up comedy with professional comedians. Who's not going to come to that? And boy, let me tell you.
Hey, man, look.
It's hard. We say this all the time. Like, I don't understand why more people aren't coming to stuff like this. And, maybe it's the town we're in. Maybe it's the night we're doing it. I don't know. But you would think more people would want to laugh.
Yeah, so we've had some people that are returning.
That's encouraging.
So last week there were a lot of returning people that have come to show.
Like we'll see them pop up at one show, and then they'll come back maybe a couple months later. Last week was the first time I saw multiple people that had been at shows before. Like it was almost like, oh, they're all here now. Yeah.
So that's my idea. I think once people come, they see how much of an enjoyable time we have here. I mean, we've done a lot of shows here at this point. We're deep into shows, and as you can see, the last show, we have people that they're returning people. I was kind of like, wait, y'all not telling everybody. Y'all just keep coming back and not saying nothing.
Keeping it secret. Yeah. Yeah,
keeping it a secret. Y'all got to tell.
Bring your friend with you.
Bring your friend. And I understand, I hope I'm grateful when they come back every month. But I do. I'm not.
It does
irrational.
Make you work. It does make you have to work a little harder.
It makes me have to work a lot harder.
Yeah, because when you're
can't tell the same stuff,
you can't
right?
Tell them same jokes.
Can't, man. So you get new material every. I'll throw one or two in here. Maybe I'm working on, but That may have been done before, but it's all new material every month. And it, sometimes it's good, but which is a part
of the reason for social media. Well, it's been fun for me to watch you carve out bits, because like like you'll have these premises and you'll approach it in a different way each month, and it's fun to kind of watch that unfold. It's like I'm watching you work, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you're figuring out what works and what doesn't, and that's probably the most fun part for me.
So that in itself, with having a returning audience, is probably the most difficult thing for me. Because I feel like I'm shortening them sometimes, but that's the reason I book Amazing Talent.
You can tell when Ray is like kind of running out of ideas with a premise. He'll speed up the process and get the next comic out. I'll see it. He's got a look. He's got a look. I can see it in his eyes. I'm moving on.
I gotta change my look.
I pay attention, man. But I love it. Like I do. I love watching people create and be funny. And, you know, every single comedian you brought here has been hilarious. And that's, you know, that's the part of it that, you know, that I want people to understand. It's like, look, this isn't just your uncle, you know, getting in front of people telling jokes. These are, you know, now we did have one guy get up that bombed. And you had to go get him off stage. I'm not going to put it out there like that.
He's a newer comic. You know, this is the thing. I'm just like the comics like Coco that have come. She put me on my first time to headline and feature and some of these other spots. And people have taken chances on me. So I think I'm always going to be someone that's going to take chances on people, because people have taken a chance on me.
It's the only way to grow.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, that's also how you build community. I mean, that's what we're doing here. You know, when I first opened, I had no idea how so many of the bands that have played, I'd never heard of them before we did this. You know, I had a few handful of people that I knew, and it's been, again, we've even watched bands grow that have played here multiple times. You know, it comes back to the building community. And that's, you know, that's kind of what you can do as a comedian. You know how many stars have to align for someone to, like, be famous? Like, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, that doesn't happen without people taking chances on them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like, somebody gave those people opportunities to get there. And, you know, if you're living and if you stay in Gastonia, North Carolina, your whole life, those opportunities will never present themselves. Yeah. You know, but by going out there and
wait, you got a difference of opinion on that?
Yeah, I do, man. Okay. I think I really do. I think that's the thing, because I know where I'm from and I know where some of the other people, but I think it's not the place anymore. It's the mindset of the people.
That's part of it. That's a big part of it. But, you know, just having the will and having the right drive and all that, that's not going to be enough to get you to, you know, a level of success where you don't have to worry no more.
Yeah, because you've got to be known a little bit everywhere.
Yeah, like if you, yeah. You know,
so
Gastonia famous isn't going to get you.
Yeah, Gastonia famous ain't going to buy the mansion.
Oh, well, no. So let me just say.
I can attest.
I'm not saying that. Sorry. I think about it differently, because like these cameras that we have here now, the same way that, you know, people watch different shit. I think that's what it is. And someone that has the ability to help promote, and that's really what we're all doing. And all this, you find promoters in pretty much every city that are quality promoters. You could become popular in any city.
Yeah.
For the most part, if you have a good product or, you know, a talent, whatever it may be. So I think the partnerships, whether you stay, it doesn't really matter where you stay, but if you align yourself with the right people, that you can build from wherever you are. I think
that's the point that I was getting at before I went on that tangent, was, you know, build up a community, build up a fan base, and you can take it on the road, and you can have like these spots. You can have a full career. Yeah. And make a living doing art, whether it's comedy or music, and never be famous.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, that's the preferable thing.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone's cut out for fame.
I think that's probably why as much on social media, I'm cool with people. I don't like everybody. Let me just be clear.
I don't like most people.
That's probably about right. But
half of them are in this room. So,
people don't know boundaries, and so that's pretty much. I'm cool with people as long as they know boundaries. When people start over, and I think that's when you get into fame, people that line gets blurry.
That draws out those type of people.
Yeah, so I think that's what, I think a little bit of the social media words, but I know that it's...
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line.
It's a really fine line.
I mean, can meet people and I'd be like, yeah, okay, we can be cool, or we can be cool to this extent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put boundaries, right. I'm good.
Yeah. Boundaries are a thing you got to learn, especially when you're getting, like, noticed, you know. Man, you have to know how to set firm and healthy boundaries.
When you say that, this is a... as you can see, I'm always merched up. I've got merch on. It's everywhere I go.
He's a walking billboard.
I am, man. I was like, because until I get at least the traction, at least I feel like I need to be able to move along. I'm like, I got to be marketing 24/7. Mm-hmm. I think I said this before. It's also for tax purposes, too. So every... Y'all can't say every mile I drive, I can record a document. I'm going to market.
If you have lunch and you talk about Ray Money, then you can write it off.
Somebody's going to say, is that you on the shirt?
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, that's me. Yeah. And then sometimes it turns into something. Sometimes it just turns into a conversation. But I had one experience where I had someone pop up at my mother-in-law's house. It was weird because they went on my social media and they saw... Some people say, oh, man, you work with a few people, and they feel like they just came over to introduce themselves. I'm like...
It's like a complete stranger?
Yeah, it's a stranger, man.
That's
wild. They sent me a message first, and it wasn't even... I've had people send me a message on social media all the time. That was the first experience where someone just came over, and it just happened to be a good experience. It wasn't nothing crazy, but it shook me a little bit. Like, oh, shit, let me... Because I know how I am. Look, I ain't always nice, Ray. Let me just be clear.
I know what you mean, man. I've had people come into the bar and...
Hey, look.
I've had people come into the bar and make me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even talk, but
I don't want to...
But no, that is a...
Like that. I've caught myself doing that. Like, on nights that I work... And I'm on stage and come back and forth. I'm all like, hey, yeah. And then when I'm not, somebody says something off color. I'm like, what? And like, really mean? I'm like, shit. I should. And I'm like, yep. I'm not in that.
I've had a couple artists come to me and be like, I'll preface by saying this. I've given Ariel carte blanche back here. This green room is her space. And she runs this green room. And I've had a couple artists be like, I think Ariel's mad at me, or I think she's got mad at me. Yeah, but usually by the end of the night, they're all like, "Oh, it's good. She's just doing her job." Like they don't know. Like they don't like. I guess we got to put a sign up. Like Ariel's the boss back here.
So my experience back here is much different than the band's are. You know, we just sitting down here in the back.
You bring yourself. They bring a whole bunch of stuff with them, and
it gets real crowded back here.
It gets real crowded, and they don't listen.
Unorganized.
It's like children sometimes, you know.
I guess they got the drum equipment and all
that. Yeah, a lot of hands, everything. Stuff.
Yeah. Lots of it.
But I mean, usually, almost always, like they'll be like, "Well, I thought she was mad at me, but then I realized that she was just, you know, doing her job." Like, yeah.
Well, that's why I usually try to crack some smart-ass like jokes, and you just go roll in it, and
what
they're
you
like,
saying? What you
"Oh,
saying?
I'm just I'm a big smart-ass." So my husband says, "Can you not say anything sarcastic?" No. I can't. But, I'm just like, okay, I had to throw that sarcasm in so they realize, okay, we're good.
Yeah, that's why we get along so well. It's because sarcasm is my love language.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like I don't ever want this place to feel stuffy, right?
Yeah.
I get you. I want this to always be fun for everybody, but at the same time, we have to be professional.
Yeah,
we have a job to do. We have work to do.
That's you say professional. That's different from depending on the person. So I think that's the problem. You might have to.
Well, that's part of being professional, right? Being reliable, being dependable.
Yeah.
You know, you show up, you do the job. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people cancel on me the day before their show. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yes. Like,
you know. And
really?
Yeah.
It's happened more than once. Yeah. And it's like, you know, a couple of times it's happened and there's been like a legitimate reason why. But there's more often than not when that happens, it's because, well, I know for a fact there's one person that canceled their show because we didn't sell any tickets. And they ended up taking a gig at another spot that paid them a guarantee.
Yeah.
See, she knows who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
That person will never play this stage again.
Never, ever.
Because that's fucked up. You didn't do a good enough job promoting your show to get people out of here. And so now you're going to make me pay for that. You're going to make me look bad because you didn't do your, you didn't hold up your end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm. Man, you got to do your shows, man. Two people, one person.
You're making a bad name for yourself. You're burning bridges. Yeah. Like, there's just, it's.
And look, it sucks for me too when there's six people here. Like you know, make no mistake, it burns me to no end when there's only six people here for a show, whether it's music, comedy, whatever. You know, even sometimes we've done free shows where nobody shows up.
Man.
And, you know, and it's frustrating. But that's part of this process of building what we're building. You know, there's going to be nights like
that. It hasn't even been a year.
Yeah.
You know, it takes, what's the average, like 3 years before a business really starts to take off and make money and do the things.
I've heard 2 years, 3 years. You know, I've heard at least in the bar business, if you make it 2 years, usually you're going to be good. There's just so much shit to pay for those first.
I think it's, I kind of try now in this sense, I try to think about modeling the business aspect of it, kind of like Walmart. They got to be open. You got to be open.
Yeah.
That means every show got to go on. But they gonna close the doors early sometimes. Sometimes they gonna lock them doors a little early. Right when you come into the door, they gonna lock the door. But they gonna be there mostly every day, so you're available. And I think the consistency of not, you know, canceling shows, to know that they gonna be there to bring your family, you know, touching base with the community and having people come back. I think that's the more the community. Where in, I know for me, going out and into meeting people and being a part of the community, and whether that's in the bank or at the grocery store, I'm merched up so that I can meet the people in the community. And
one of your better talents is that ability to just connect with people. I've watched you work. I've watched you, you know, when we do shows here, and the way you talk to people after the show, before the show, like you have a likability about you where it seems like anybody.
You
can
think
talk.
So?
To be honest with you, it's your smile.
Oh man, look at
it really is. Your
smile. Your braces work.
Your smile. Yeah, right? That expensive shit works. But no, that smile. You're just it makes it's like, hey.
I've just seen you connect with so many different types of people here. Yeah, early on, one of the first shows we did, we had that older Hispanic couple.
Yeah.
Remember them? I mean, they closed the bar down with you. Like, they just kept buying drinks.
Right?
They didn't tip the shit. But yeah, I didn't forget that. But, you know. But every month we do these shows, and every month you never know who's going to show up. And you know, you just have this ability to connect with people, and like I said, this month was the first time we saw several different repeat customers at one time. You know, and that felt good, and it did finally start to feel like we're building this up, like it's finally happening
again. It's smiling.
It is. It's very inviting because as soon as you come off the stage, I've watched you. Mm-hmm. Your face lights up. People want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And your whole face lights up, and that just is a beacon for
it's the positivity.
Welcome. Yeah.
It's the positivity that you bring. Because, like, even when I've been here, I think I've been here for two or three of the things. Yeah. You, like, if there's five people here, if there's 20 people here, like, we all have a good time.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time, man. Look.
And you can also, the ability to change as you go, too. So if it's like, if there's one or two people here, do some stuff that you're not, you know, you're working on, you know, that you don't really, you can bomb a little bit, you know?
I think that's what getting in the comfort zone of doing it, you know, you get to doing it where sometimes you always want to make sure that the people in smaller crowds, you make sure they have a good show so that they come back.
Yeah.
So it is a balance between making
sure. It's funny with the smaller shows, it's hard to do crowd work. Cause
God, yes.
Especially, I don't know if this is just a Gastonia thing. You answer this question. Okay. Is it a Gastonia people thing, or is it like this everywhere when people don't want to interact? Like you'll be like, yo, what's your name? And people will just sit there.
Oh, no, that's everywhere, man.
That is everywhere.
To be honest, uh-huh. I love comedy, but I'm still going, don't fucking pick on me. Don't
fucking pick on me. Yeah. Well, I think that's part of people are afraid of getting picked on, but like the interaction's always funny. Like if you just go along.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've watched Ray work do crowd work with an unwilling participant, and he walks that fine line of not getting them too upset.
Right.
You know,
the last time I was here, it was that lady that because she kept on her phone the whole time. And, like, I think every comedian touched on it that night.
So, I think that's where it gets fun for me.
He said, you have somewhere else to be.
Yeah, right.
When I walk the line, that's when it's fun for me. Mm. Like, after you do it for a while, I can understand it about laughter. Because the reason I'm able to connect, I now realize I've lived in so many different type of environments. And from being in the hood, living in the projects, to living in an RV, around older white people, to a regular house, owning a home, growing up in a neighborhood. Like, those experiences, I've been able to connect with people on different levels.
Yeah.
So it's you say it's a smile. I think it's just the relatability of some of the experiences that they've had to go on through.
No, your smile is your hot and fresh sign.
That is it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's hot and fresh.
It's that hot and fresh Krispy Kreme sign.
You Ray Money and then just...
I gotta turn it up.
I was saying, that's a new t-shirt right there. Get your smile and
what's your last name? I can't remember.
Tara.
Tara, that's your new logo you need to work on.
That's your hot and fresh sign.
I mean, hey, let's shout out Tara because she's one of the hardest working women in the business.
She is.
Uh-huh.
They were talking last week at the show, after the show, they were talking about trying to get Tara up there.
Hey, man, I've been trying to get up there for a while, man. This is I think she's leaning toward it the more she sees me and I pull her into it. Because mm-hmm. for a while, she wasn't...
She's getting the itch.
I don't think she's getting the itch, but I think the inspiration in itself. She
has the most infectious laugh.
Oh, I've she ever does. Heard in my life. She so does. I
mean, that's got to be what made you fall in love with her.
Yeah, it is.
Her laugh. Her laugh is just so genuine.
Between that and her jab, we good. hey, look. I mean, that's the thing. It keeps me having the ability to laugh because I mean, I'm not happy all the time. So
to have
someone that's funny and makes me laugh helps me to continue doing this, as well as this is what I mean. She's on the road with me a lot of times. So.
Yeah.
And then also helping her to understand the business more, so she now is helping to build the business. So it's a family thing, man. So
it's a family business.
Yeah, man, it's a family business.
Comedy is a family business.
It is. I don't think it's just entertainment. It's the getaway.
Yeah.
The getaway.
Well, I was just about to say. You know, being surrounded by people with that kind of mindset, like, it makes it so much easier to, like, deal with life's, you know, ups and downs. You know, you just said, I'm not happy all the time.
Yeah.
You know, me either. And I'm always, like, when I find myself in a bad situation, I try to find the funny. Like, I try to find a way to make this funny,
mm-hmm.
because it's so much easier to deal with something when you can find, like, the ridiculousness of it all, you know?
Man.
Like, there's a lot of heavy situations in life that aren't funny, but when you find a way to make them funny, it's like, it's almost like helps with the healing process of grief. You know, it helps, you know, getting past, you know, things that, if you can find a way to laugh at what makes you angry, like, that's such a much
that's a
better,
talent, that right
that's
there.
Much better way to deal with things than being angry. Like, being angry is not fun. At all.
If I start laughing at my anger, I'm really mad. I'm really,
yeah,
really mad.
Them, huh?
If you're angry at somebody else, and it pisses them off even more that you're having a good time with
them. That's why I'm angry. That's beyond angry.
Oh, man.
That's like borderline Hulk smash.
You finna go there, huh?
Yeah.
I guess.
I'll do that to my kid every now and then when she gets mad and upset. I'll make fun of her. It really pisses her off.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm like, you can't see why this is funny. Like,
to you, it's funny, but to her, that's like fuel. That's like teenage rage, man. That's dangerous territory, Michael.
Ray don't know yet. His kids are still young.
Nah, man. I got a 13 and 14 year old, man.
Oh, yeah. He said that right.
Okay. You're right there.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind me asking,
yeah.
I haven't seen your kids come to a show yet.
No, they've been to shows before.
Here. They haven't been here.
No. I just haven't.
So where are they at? Like, are they into comedy at all, or?
My oldest son, he lives in Alabama. He's 13. He's been on stage before. He's tried it. He's
okay, rock on.
Been on stage a few times. You know, he teeters in it. He wants to be funny, and he sees it, but he doesn't really know what it is yet. He just and kind of like me when I was around his age, I didn't know what comedy was, but I saw it. I saw it on TV, and I see, and it's, you know, it's great now. I get a chance to meet some of these people and I see them, but I didn't know what it was. I just, you know, it's people telling jokes. I didn't know. That there was a business and all this other stuff behind it.
Well, I mean, but just the comedy itself, like figuring how to make something funny, that, you know, because that's what a premise is, right?
All of my kids try that now. They want to make something funny. It's
you taught them right.
Make something funny. You taught
them right.
It's not just teaching them. It's a part of our family. So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they're hilarious. I mean, my sister's hilarious. My dad's hilarious. My mom's hilarious. All these people are hilarious. I'm just cousins. I'm just the only one that's pursuing it like this.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and understanding, while pursuing it like this, you understand the differences of just being funny around the people you know.
You got to have, like, the most fun holiday get-togethers.
Dude, that sounds like my face would be hurting.
Yeah, my family isn't funny like that. But, yeah, we get together. My wife and I start setting an over-under on how many minutes it's going to take someone after the Thanksgiving meal to start talking politics. Mm. You know, like, it's like a trained, I don't want to say trained, it's like a learned behavior. It's like, okay, we had a big, nice dinner. Everyone had a good time. Now let's make everyone uncomfortable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like,
but it would be so much more fun to just sit around and crack jokes all afternoon, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is I think that's really most people's family. I think the only difference is people that decide to chart it as a career versus, because there's a million funny people. Just like there are a million comics, there's a comic, or at least someone starting out every day. Yeah. There's a brand new person that has that inspiration and drive, and then some people may be really good at it for the first 6 months, and they'll be like, "Nah, I'm good. I don't want to do this." But it doesn't mean they don't have the talent.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that have the talent. They don't.
Yeah.
So did you start, when you started, were you just like, "Oh, I'm pretty funny. I kind of want to go after this," or people laugh at me, I want to go after this? And like when you get up on stage, was the confidence kind of already there, or did you have to build that up?
I mean, I still don't have the confidence now. I just keep going. That's the.
You just don't shut up. That's
pretty much what it is. Eventually, something's gonna come out funny.
You seem pretty sure of yourself on stage. You know what you're.
Well, that's. I think that's. I've been doing it for a while now, so it wasn't initially like that. I mean, I believe every comic that you see on stage, we still get nervous until you get on stage.
Well, I've heard that, like, you ever lose that nervous energy before, then you're probably time to hang it up.
Yeah.
Like, you want to have a little bit of...
That touch of anxiety,
you
right?
You need to have a little bit of uncomfortable anxiety, because that's what's going to keep you on edge, keep you sharp, you know. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people get up and be real relaxed and stuff like that, but even those people will admit that, like, you get that anxiousness, you know, before going on stage.
I think the people that don't get nervous on them, because either they're not focusing on the craft, you're not trying to craft it, if that makes sense. I think that in my jokes, I'd like to do callbacks and things, these technical things where I'm talking about stuff I may have talked about, and that's comics, they come out, oh man, they watch it. So I do some of it for the back of the room, which they used to call it, which is pretty much most of the comics are sitting in the back. And then I do for the audience too, because I understand these people are coming out for a good time. But then also, it's a portion of it is the subject matter and stuff is just kind of for myself. So I'll give a little bit of both in there. And I think the nervousness is when, for me, when I get nervous is if I haven't fully had a moment to just sit down with it. But a lot of times Tara will be with me and she'll tell me, oh, that's when you do your best work, when you're not thinking about it. So
yeah.
I think it's the lack of preparation for me of at least sit down for at least 10 minutes to, because I'm always doing something else.
Collect your thoughts.
And yeah, to collect your thoughts.
Well, I know with the shows that we do, these are your shows, so you're kind of responsible. You're running the show and you're performing.
Yeah.
So that can be hectic.
So this was this reason of in enjoying the space that you guys have with the stage and the lights and have everything set up so nicely. It frees up some of the responsibility of the setup to try to. A lot of what you'll see here is like you see me crafting and changing material. This is building space for me, and so I bring all the other comics in to ensure that we have an amazing show. I know what I'm going to give is going to be great. It'll be good. You're going to laugh, but I'm not. In this moment, I'm not attempting to carry the show.
Right.
I want to bring my friends in so they can carry, they have a good night, and then it will also give me a space to work out some of these things that I work out, and then eventually I'll come back and once I've got all the pieces moved around, because I'll go other places and I move stuff around, and I'll bring it all back so everybody kind of see, like, this is the full paying here.
Well, you've got some really good friends. The name of the show is Comedian Ray Money and Friends. And it's true. You've got some. They've been very gracious because they've come. You know, we've struggled to get a full house in here. Like it's weird because the first 2 months we did it, we had a bunch of people in here.
Yeah.
And then after February, it just kind of dropped off, and we've had smaller crowds. And they've all been funny shows. But your friends have all been gracious. They've all been super. Every single one of them thanks me for having them, which absolutely. Is, that's nice. Mm-hmm. And
I make sure that I tell them to tell you that every time.
Tyrone was like, Ray said not to make fun of the venue, but Ray's protective of everyone. Like, and I told Ray, I was like, don't tell people not to make fun of the venue. That's going to make them want to do it more.
Right.
Look, this is the thing. I tell, because comics are, they're comics.
Yeah.
What I tell them, I'm like, jokes are cool. You know jokes, but I think, some of the part of about a space, some of the things that you can say can make the way people look differently on it, and they may not. So I'm like, look, make jokes, man, but don't make it feel like where people don't want to come back.
For me, I think it's real simple with what you and I both are trying to say right now. When you're making jokes about something sensitive to somebody, if it's coming from a place of love, totally acceptable. But if you're just being a dick, if you're just being an asshole, shit's not funny.
So those comics, they're in comics at different times. Comics can be assholes at different times.
Yeah. So I get it. Like
that's a blanketed message I send to all comics. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. It's that line. Like, you can just, the inflection of your tone can go one way. You're like, it sounds like you're completely just trashing it.
And everyone that's performed here, I mean, there's been a couple of guys that have come in and make a couple of shitty jokes, but most everybody that's been here has come from that place of love. And they all understand that we're trying to build something here. Yeah. Like you don't take a gig in Gastonia, North Carolina, and expect it to be the Comedy Zone in New York City,
Let me tell you something, man. I do, because I'm going to these places and they're bringing me to these places to do the same thing. So I have the thought process, and you say I'm positive. I have a beacon of positivity because you have to be in this game, man. This shit takes a long time.
It wears on your feelings and emotions.
Emotions, man. You're away from your family a lot of times. You're on the road sometimes by yourself. If you're doing it where you, to the point where you can build it, if you're blessed enough to be able to build a team, great. But a lot of years, you're by yourself. So you have to have that
positive. You jerk off in a hotel so many times.
Oh, my goodness. A lot of sticky places. Sometimes, look.
And he said sticky places.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes they sticky before you get there.
That Lakeitha and Durham. Oh, man. Have you been there too?
It's called the Black Light Specials.
The soap already open? No, no, awesome.
Oh my God.
Well, Ray, I want to thank you for coming on and doing the show today. I really appreciate you, man. Ray and I met right before we opened this place, and we talked It'll be a year next month that we've known each other, and we talked about all of this stuff about building something here, and then we're going to keep at it and keep trying to make these things bigger and bigger, because eventually Gastonia will catch up and see like what's happening here is pretty special. Yeah. So this is an invitation to come on the fourth Thursday of every month to the Rooster for comedian Ray Money and Friends stand-up comedy. It's only $20 in advance. It's $25 at the door. It's this month. It'll be the 26th. It's going to be a good time. It always is. And you know, we got great drink specials. We got a little bit of food to munch on. Man, it's a great day. So you can, you know.
It's my birthday month, man. We're going to I'm an October baby, man. I'm a Scorpio. We'll
have to get a birthday cake and all that.
We're going to have the best time ever. Okay. When I tell you, I don't even know who I'm going to book yet. I've got the person I've got a few people, you know, people's schedules change and stuff like that, so I try to give them time to make their, because they're coming to do us a favor here. There's no way we can afford these guys.
that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, they're doing us a favor.
Man, they come through and show love, man. And I think that comes over the years. I've shown love to people over the years. I've done free shows here and there and stuff over the years for comics that are doing what I'm doing and have attempted to do what we're doing here as well. That's what it is, brotherhood, sisterhood, community of helping each other. And I don't forget when people support, so.
Yeah.
I try to.
Yeah, we have long memories in this business. have long memories.
People don't. I do, so.
When you're all in like you and I are on the thing that we're doing, it's not easy to forget, you know, stuff, so. But we'll end on a high note, and we'll just say this month, the 26th, Thursday, come to Comedian Ray Money and Friends. We're going to have a blast. We're going to celebrate Ray's birthday. What are you turning, 32?
Just roll with it.
Yeah, we're going to go with that, man. No. Y'all come out for my 23rd birthday.
Ray's turning 18.
Hey, wait a minute.
None of this math adds up.
None of us were there when it happened, so we don't know when it
And shout out to all the comedians that's performed here here at the Rooster. We really appreciate you. We know you're doing us a favor. Don't be afraid to come back.
Please.
All right. Peace and love.